I got ready to leave last night. I went out the side door here, been in here praying, and trying to be obedient, just wanting to draw close to the Lord, and had some burdens and some issues and some concerns, things that you have as well. Now, as I went out the door, I saw some and I completely stopped in my tracks, because sitting up on the porch area of the fellowship hall was a bird like I've never seen. It was dark. It was dark 30 last night. Outside lights were on and it was just sitting there. I was afraid not to move. Then I started looking at it. I didn't rightly know what kind of bird it even was. I mean, it's pretty elementary to know the difference between a sparrow and a robin and an owl and a dove and a pigeon. And I know those things. But I hadn't never seen one just like this. So I grabbed my cell phone, got the camera out, took a picture of it twice. My wife and my son were with me. I said, "You ain't going to believe this. Look, beautiful bird." I said, "Don't y'all spook it." And next thing I knew, I was praising the Lord. I remember when the Bible said that Jesus was to be baptized. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And we realized that there was a dove. Spirit like a dove was descending upon him. I don't know if that rightly was a dove. If it was, it was the biggest dove I've ever seen. I believe he sent that bird last night for me to see. It helped me. I believe it's for somebody here too. I want you to turn, I can hardly see. I want you to turn me to the Psalms. I've seen some wonderful things the last 2 weeks of my life. God has showed me so many wonderful things. You may think that's no big deal, a bird. Oh, if you'd been with me last night, you'd have known beyond any shadow of a doubt we was on holy ground. Just as holy a ground as what y'all were in just a little bit ago when you was shouting and praising the Lord and kneeling at his altar. I'm telling you what, this is the house of God. Amen. You had that bird sitting there last night, I'm telling you. I wouldn't even start my car. I had it parked under the carport. I put it in neutral, and I shoved our car off down the hill down through here to start. I wasn't going to bother that bird. I said, "Thank you, Jesus, for the peace of God and for the rest of God and for what you're getting ready to show me about that bird." And I went home, and God laid a little thought on my heart, and I want to look in Psalm 55. I'll ask you to stand. I'll read a few verses here. Psalm 55, verse 1. "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off, and remain in the wilderness, Selah." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you allowed us to be in this place this day, the house of God, a dreadful place, yet a wonderful place. And Lord, we are not worthy to stand before this people. We're sure of that. Lord, we're not worthy to have your word in our hand. We're not worthy of the least of all blessings you've sent our direction. Worthy of nothing. But yet, God, we stand here because of Jesus. Because He gave His life in my place. And He saved my soul back yonder by His precious blood. And I praise you for that. And Lord, I'll only stand here today
and declare the precepts of God because you choose for me to do so, because it'd be your will. I pray, God, you'd help us then by the Spirit of God to speak to this, your people. God, I thank you for the things you've shown me this week, this last week, the week before that. God, I just praise you. And I love you. And I pray, God, that you'd help us more. We are not looking to write books. We just want to learn. We want to understand. We pray, God, you'd give us wisdom in the things of God, in the Word of God, that somehow we might help your people to be drawn closer to you, that you might draw nigh to them. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. David said in verse 6, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." I want to preach on this thought. The silent dove afar off. Now, as I read these first 7 verses, and for sake of time, I'll not read them necessarily again, but you can see a man that I believe is David, the sweet psalmist and the king of all Israel. He is burdened, and he wants to get away from everything in his life. He's not looking for just a vacation. He's not wanting a few days off to rest and to relax. But I believe he's wanting to find a dwelling place to get away from the problems that he may rest. Jeremiah said in chapter 9, verse 2, don't turn there, he said this, "Oh, that I had a wilderness, in the wilderness, a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them." Interesting that Jeremiah and David are almost saying the same thing. It's almost like in David's life, a man after God's own heart, serving the Lord, is in a spot in his life that he says, "I just want to pull over from serving the Lord. I want to just pull over from the problems in my life." You ever done that? "I just want to stop a minute and let the world go by." Yet David didn't just want to stop a minute. He wanted to just pull over and completely stop and not go on. And I believe that's where he was. I want to look at the predicament that David was in and why he thought, "I'm just looking for a good exit. A good getting off point, a way to get out of coming to church and being faithful." What's the predicament David's in? What are his reasons? Why does David want to get away? You're here this morning, you come in, you've seen people shouting, scared you half to death, people weeping, you don't understand about that. Tell you the truth, you're just looking for a good getting off spot. You want to let the world go on by. These people's in here praising the Lord and having a time, and it scares you halfway to death. And well, glory to God, if you go to heaven, you're going to find out that's a noisier place than here. They're going to be praising God and shouting and running and weeping tears of joy, I believe. They're going to have, we are going to have a time. And if it scares you here, you better get over it if you're really going to go there. Amen? David's predicament. This morning I see in verses 1 and 2, David felt abandoned by God. Yes, he did. Read it again. "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise." It's like he's crying out here to the Lord, but he gets no answer. He's pleading, mourning to God, but there is no answer that comes his way. He makes that statement in verse 1, "Hide not thyself." To hide means to conceal. To hide means to pull a veil over something. To hide means to ignore. David feels like, "I'm calling on the Lord and He's ignoring me. He's hidden Himself from me and I feel abandoned by God."
A similar word is used in 2 Samuel chapter 14. In verse number 24, when David's rebel son Absalom is brought back home, David said, "He will not see my face." And for over 2 years, David hid his face from his own son. He hid his face. It is also mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy, and it lists out this as a sin, a breaking the law, that if a man sees his neighbor's cattle going astray, and he turns his face and hides himself from doing something about it, he's breaking the law. David says, "God, you're hiding your face from me." Have you ever felt like you're being ignored by God? But yes, He said He'll never leave you. And yes, He said that He'll never forsake you. But the truth be known, you have felt abandoned. And when people were shouting today, you couldn't hardly take it and you couldn't understand it because you, where you were sitting in your life today, feel abandoned by God. And you know it's the truth. I believe that's what David felt. He said, "Hide not thyself from my supplication." I think another thing that David's in this predicament, I think he's overwhelmed. Look at verse number 3. Why is he overwhelmed? Because of the voice of the enemy. Because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. David is overwhelmed. There is an enemy that's come against him. In verse number 12 of this chapter, David says, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company." Someone that David knew well. Someone that was a close acquaintance of his. Someone, my friends, that he has confided in for years and years has turned on him and has become his enemy. Someone you poured your love out upon. Someone, my friend, that you placed your faith and your trust and your confidence in, and now they've turned away. You feel betrayed. You feel victimized. You're overwhelmed. David's in a predicament. He feels abandoned by God. He feels abandoned by his own friends. I believe this man was his right-hand man, the counselor in his cabinet, a man by the name of Ahithophel, that they went to the house of God together and they prayed together and they worshiped together. And now there's a split between them. For Ahithophel has run off with Absalom, that rebel son. And David cannot believe how he's been betrayed. I'll tell you what, he's burdened. And to tell you the truth, he just wants to get away from that person. He wants to get away from their voice. He wants to get away from their presence. Have you ever, don't answer this out loud, but have you ever been around someone you wish you could just get away? You don't want to see them. You don't want to look at them. You don't want to talk to them. You don't want to hear their voice. It just breaks your heart because how they have hurt you. And when you go to talk to God about it, you feel almost abandoned. It is almost like heaven is his breath and you can't get a prayer through the ceiling. David says, "I just want to fly away. If I had wings like a dove, I'd just go somewhere and let the world go by. My own son's turned against me. My family's let me down. And my own friends, Ahithophel, and my own God seem like you don't want to hear from me." Oh, there's more than that. Verse 4. Of Psalm 55. He says, "My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death is fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me." Down deep in his heart, there's a great amount of stress. This word, speaking of verse number 4, where it says pained, it means like a woman having childbirth. Now, I know that you women say there's no man can understand the pain of childbirth. And God bless y'all for that. But according to the Scripture, It can just be that when someone's heart is so broken that it can be even greater and more stressing than the very pain of childbirth. In fact, I believe here that this is a prophetic psalm speaking of how Judas betrayed Jesus. They'd worshiped together and saw people healed, and yet Judas betrayed him. Amen? I think it's a very prophetic psalm because Jesus would go out into the garden there and he bowed down and began to pray. And being under such a great burden, the Bible says his sweat became as drops of blood. David is close to that point. His heart is so broken. He is in such pain. Here he is, that wonderful tender shepherd, that sweet psalmist, the king of all Israel, this slayer of 10,000s, this man who conquered a great giant. Here he says, my heart is hurting within me. I can handle the outside difficulties of life, but on the inside, I cannot overcome what I face. You see, this morning, it's good to come in here and praise God, but I can't see what's really in your heart and the difficulties that you're facing this morning. I thought about David. What difficulties he faced with Absalom, and what difficulties he faced with Ahithophel. But why did those things happen? I tell you what. David says, I want wings like a dove to fly away. It's the memory of what he's done. He can recall the sin, the adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, trying to hide it. He knew that his problems were of his own making. He remembered, not only did he commit adultery, but then he went and had her husband murdered. And Nathan the prophet came, and he spoke to him, and he put his finger up in his face, and he said, thou art the man. David will never forget that sermon. He'll never forget the day that God dealt with his heart. Yet David fell on his face and he said, you're right. He said, my sin is ever before me. Certainly the scandal, Bathsheba's with child. Certainly that scandal was spoken of throughout all of Israel, throughout all the nation. You talk about scandals in America and how we sweep things under the carpet. There had never been a greater scandal in the land of Israel than King David, a man after God's own heart, having an affair with Bathsheba and murdering her husband. There had never been a greater scandal. And David said, I wish that I had wings like a dove to fly away and get away from my problems. I want to say verse number 8. Not only is he stressed way down deep in his heart, and I'm telling you what, sin will stress you. Living in the circumstances of your sin, living in the situation caused by your sin, and I don't care where you go, you can't get away from that. In verse number 8, he says, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. I would hasten. Why is he trying to run away from the storm? Because he's facing an uncertain future. He knows God's punishment is coming. The child's going to die. He knows that he's going to be run from the throne. The sword will never depart from his family. He faces an uncertain future. Some of you know there's a storm coming. And when a storm comes, you decide, best thing I can do is run. Bat down the hatches and I'm getting out of here. Let me tell you something, America. Brother Casper is testifying this morning. I feel this to say this from the Lord. This country is getting ready to face a storm like she has never seen in her history. And a lot of us know that it's coming. You can feel it on your inside. There's a part of you would like to have the wings of a dove and fly away. But where are you going to go? What are you going to do? It's the greatest land of all the lands. And I continue to pray that maybe, just maybe, God would convict our hearts and we'd really bow our knees to the Lord and this thing would be turned around. And yet I'm willing to endure the storm. The change that we need, that everybody, we need change in America. Bless God, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. Jesus is not white riding that old donkey or that elephant. You hear me? The change that America needs is a change to call on a sovereign Savior. That's the change our country needs. David said, I'd like to escape it because I face an uncertain future. Do you see his predicament? Number two, I see his problems of getting away. First of all, there's reality. He pleads to have the wings like a dove and escape. But guess what? He cannot. It is impossible for me and you to put on dove feathers and start flopping around and get away. Even if he could. When he got there, out of that remote place, letting the world go by, when he got there, when he looked in the mirror the next morning, he'd see the same man, the same scandal, the same sin. There is no getting away from yourself. If he could fly away with the wings of a dove, the devil would still try to come there and tempt him to sin again. And the devil would be quick to come and point out, ha, 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 look what you did. Everybody knows what a failure you are. That's what the devil does to you, ain't it? You low down scumbag. You're a failure. Nobody cares about you. Not even Jesus. That's what the devil says. You know what you did. That's what the devil says. And I don't care where you go. He seems to always have a tracer to find you. Not only could he not get away from himself, he couldn't get away from Satan, but you ain't going to get away from the Savior. There is nowhere you can go that Jesus can't get to. No rock you can hide under. No closet you can hide in. And he comes with sweet conviction and says, yeah, the devil's right. You sinned, but I'll forgive you and I'll help you. I'll sustain you. Glory to God. There's times in our lives, if the truth be known, when the Holy Spirit of God starts kneeling and touching our heart, we really don't want Him to touch our heart. We really don't want that sin to be exposed. We really don't want to feel conviction. We want to feel good. We want to go to church and shout and have the preacher tell us, oh, you're a good boy. You're a good girl. It's going to be all right. No more do we want to have the man of God get up and preach the infallible, inerrant Word of God and then try to reach down to where we are in our sin and bring conviction so that God can straighten us out. That's not what we want anymore. Amen? Well, I don't care where David goes. Reality checks in. Somebody says, well, I think the grass looks greener on the other side. Well, guess what? The fellow that just left there thought the grass was brown. And it looks greener to you. That's amazing. Not only is there reality, but think about this. Think about his refuge. What's he asking for? He said, Lord, if I could just fly away with the wings of a dove, he said, then would I fly away and be at rest. Verse 7, lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Hello, where are you going, David? I'm going to the wilderness. Guess what's in the wilderness? No food. No shelter. No water. The wilderness is a dry place. In fact, David's been there before. He remembers when he was running from Saul. He was begging and pleading, oh God, that you'd let me go home. And now that he's home, he says, oh God, that I could just go back to the wilderness. Sometimes you forget where God's brought you from. You think of the wilderness He brought you out of. And when troubles come in your life, you say, oh, I'd like to go back to where... Are you sure about that? I don't think David's examining the time that he was down there in a hold and the Philistines were surrounding him and coming against him. And he said, oh, that I had a drink of the well that was at Bethlehem. And his men broke through enemy lines and got him a big old drink of water out of that well, and came back, gave it to their captain, handed it to him, blood running off of them where they'd been in the battle. Others maybe had died trying to do so, gave him that drink of water, and he said, it's the price of blood. I can't drink it. And he poured out a drink offering before the Lord. You hear me this morning? You may say, boy, I wish I could go out back out to the wilderness, but there was really no refuge there for you to start with. You're wishing for something, my friend, that you're going to long, that you could get back away from. It's amazing. You say, I'm willing to trade my problems right now for my past problems. That's not a wise decision, friend. No, his refuge is a problem for him. But he's running from God. You remember Elijah? He ran from God. Yep, Jezebel threatened him. He went and laid underneath the juniper tree and said, "It's enough, Lord, I'm ready to die." But guess what happened? God came, sent an angel, woke him up, fed him a second time, gave him drink. He went up to the mountain, got in the mountain, went and hid in the cave. And guess what? He couldn't get away from God in the cave. God showed up and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" He didn't say, "What are you doing there?" That means you're off somewhere by yourself. But he said, "Here." It's because the Lord's still with him. Jonah ran from God. Yeah, he got a 3-day cruise pass on a ship called a whale and brought him right back to the will of God. Let me tell you something. You think you're going to run from God. Oh! But I had the wings of a dove and I could get away from my problems. But maybe God's allowed these things to come in your life for a reason. Hello? Thirdly, and I'm done. I think about the prevailing answer in his life. What's he going to do? He wants the wings of a dove. What's he going to do? Look with me in verse 16. He says in verse 16, "What am I going to do, preacher?" Here's what you're going to do. Verse 16. "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." He said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep on praying." David, I got a problem with that. What is it? You just said you felt abandoned by God. You said when you've been praying, pouring out your complaint to Him, He's not hearing you. David said, "You know what? I'll pray anyway. Though He slay me, I'm going to serve Him. I'm telling you, if He never shines His face on me again, I'm going to seek His face and keep praying and calling on the name of the Lord." You know, this word pray right here, where he says in verse 17, is not your normal word for prayer. In the book of Job, about 15 times, it's the word complaint. He said, "I'm not going to come and complain about God. I'm going to pour my complaints out to God." You might as well, He already knows. Just talk to Him specifically about what's going on. Hey, he said, "The God that saved me, I'm going to pour my heart out to Him." You know, number 92 in that red book says, "Let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell Him all about our trouble." Amen. David said, "I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on telling Him about my troubles." Look with me, verse 18. He says, "He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me." He said, "You know what? I know I'm not just going to pray, but I'm going to remember. God's been good. So good. When I think about how He's delivered me and the things He's done for me, boy, I tell you what, I'm going to rejoice in His deliverance and I'm going to remember the good things of God. I'm not going to think about the negatives no more. I'm going to think, oh, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things have virtue, whatsoever things have good report. Hey, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." He said, "I'm going to think on the Lord. I'm going to meditate on what He's done for me." Hey, can you think back? What's He done for you? How'd you get to here today? Oh, you ain't a self-made man. You're a Savior-made man. Boy, He's been good to you. Don't quit. Just keep. Look at verse 18 again. He says, "For there were many with me." He said, "You know what, God? There were many with me. Even though my son and one of my friends has turned away and my heart's hurting here, Lord, You did give me some other folks in my life. Folks that's been true. Folks that's been friends. Folks that's been faithful." He says, "There were many with me. If I decide I'm just going to pull off to the side and I'm going to quit, it's going to influence others for the wrong." And he said, "I don't want to lose my influence for You, God. I want to glorify Your name. And I'm going to keep on praying. And I'm going to keep on serving. And I'm going to keep on remembering. If I was to quit," David says, "what's going to happen to my people?" about that time you walk out a door, God has a little bird sitting there looking at you. He was a silent bird. He didn't do anything, but I'm telling you, he had the biggest eyes, the biggest little white body you've ever seen in your life, and he was just looking at me. And as I moved, he just turned his head like this. I'm telling you, when you go out in a minute, you'll still see his feathers. I looked for him this morning. I thought he might still be here. I believe he is. Hey, well, verse 22, I'm trying to hurry. He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. What am I going to do? Since I can't fly away, I'm going to give all my problems to him. 1 Peter 5:7. Heard it this morning many times. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. That word, verse 22, cast thy burden. What is a burden? What is a burden? Well, something heavy that weights us down. Yeah, that's what we know about it. But I looked it up in the dictionary. Have you got your ears open? Are you listening to me? Preacher, it's after 12 o'clock. My stomach's not listening anymore. Get it in gear. Get this if you don't get anything else. You know what a burden is? It is something that has been given to you. God says, I want your attention, son. And he lays this burden on you. Oh, God, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it? God says, give it to me. I gave it to you. Now you just give it back to me. You see, will you get this just for a second? If you keep running away, you're never going to know about his power to deliver you. If you keep running away, and said, oh God, I've got a thorn in the flesh. It's got to be taken away. If you keep running away, you'll never know about his sufficient grace. You won't be able to stand up and say, look what God did for me. Man, I was downtrodden and defeated. My heart was broken. Everybody turned on me. And look what God did for me. He loved me through it all and blessed me through it. Preacher, don't get excited. I can't help it. He gave us a burden and he said, give it back to me, glory to God. And he said, I will sustain you. That means you can make it. My daddy lay dying in the hospital. Tears running down his face after 3 surgeries. I'm telling you what, I looked at him and I said, Daddy, I'll go get the nurses. I will get some medicine. I'll find a doctor. He grabbed me. Well, let me go. Wait, son. You see, if I had wings like a dove, I was going to fly away. My daddy said, wait a minute. God chose me to bear this for his glory. And I'm just weeping tears of joy because God chose to give me this burden. And I most gladly will I bear this for his glory. They told my wife she had MS. My heart's broke. The devil done landed on my shoulder and said, you the pastor at Bethel Baptist Church, why don't you just quit? The God you serve can't. You can't pray for your own life. You can't pray for nobody else. My heart's broke. I hadn't said nothing much. We walked all the way down that dark corridor to our car. I reached and got her car door and started to open it. And I looked at her right eye to eye. And I said, what does this mean? She said, I tell you what it means. God chose to give me this. And I'm going to bear it for his glory. And it's going to be okay. You see, if I'd have had wings like a dove, I'd have wanted to flown away right there. And I'd have missed out on a lot of blessings that he's already sent into her life. As she faces this thing. You see, when these burdens come, you keep trying to run away. He says, no, don't run away. Run to me. You see, when I got up there with Tony, Rosemarie said something. She said, it'll be all right. With a stroke, paralyzed, it'll be all right. What does that mean? This is what it means. There is nothing that can happen to you or to me
that God can't sustain us through. Nothing's going to happen to us that God can't sustain us through. Hallelujah. Well, David grabs this, and in chapter 56, watch this. The heading of the verse says to the chief musician, do you see it? To the chief musician, upon Jonath-Elim-Rekokim, Mizpam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. Do you know what Jonath-Elim-Rekokim means? Jonath-Elim-Rekokim. It means the silent dove afar off. Look what he says in this chapter. He said, if I had wings like a dove, I'd fly away. But by the end of the verse, he said, you know what? I'm not going to fly away. God, I'm going to keep serving you. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep remembering. I'm going to keep casting things upon you. I'm not going to lose my influence for your name. I'm just going to serve you no matter what. Look what he says, chapter 56, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Says in verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Verse 4, in God will I praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. Verse 8, put thou my tears in a bottle. Verse 9, he says at the end of the verse, this I know, for God is for me. He didn't just say He was with me. He said He's for me. Ha, ha, ha. Woo, glory to God. Left out of here last night, a little bird showed up and said, I'm for you. And all he had to do was show me His presence. Well, verse number 12, he says, thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. That dove speaks of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said up there, he said, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings? And you would not. You know why they would not? They wanted to fly away. You want to get away from the financial problems. You want to get away from the health issues. You want to get away from the concerns of this life and the broken heart that you feel. But God says, I promise you, if you'll just come and give it to me, I'll sustain you. I've allowed this place to come in your life that you might know that I care for you, that I love you, and I'm going to help you. Woo! Glory to God for that then. You stand to your feet. The silent dove afar off, he's looking. I believe he's speaking to hearts this morning. Someone come play on the instruments. Lord, I preached all morning. God bless you, brother. Might be somebody here saying, you know what, preacher? I want to fly away. But reality says I can't. Preacher, I just can't. So, Lord, here I come. Like David, even morning at noon, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to render praises to your name. And I'm going to remember what you've done, and I want to be, God, thank you for how you blessed me and brought me to this point. Lord, bless your holy name. Folks are coming this morning responding. Lord knows if you've really thought about, I want to get away. I just want to get away. Your getaway will be in Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Superintendent read this morning, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Hey, guess what? When Adam and Eve got in sin, I read in the Bible there this week, and I like to lost it. Said he, the Lord come walking in the cool of the day. He came to where they were. He's come to where you are right now. Glory, hallelujah. Speaking to your heart,
trying to get you over doubt, trying to get you over fear and frustration, and get you just to trust Him. He's come to where you are. Ha ha! Hi, glory to God! He's going to run the devil off. Would you let Him? Draw nigh to Him now while He's nigh. Lord, as we bow, God, we give You praise, honor, thanks, God, for all that You've done. Lord, we thank You for the silent dove afar off that You've allowed us, God, to get a vision of. God, we thank You, Father, that You've allowed us the opportunity to just draw nigh to You, to get up underneath Your wings, to feel Your warmth, Your embrace, Your heartbeat. Glory, hallelujah. God, I pray You'd help us, Lord. God, when we feel like we just want the wings of a dove to fly away, it's interesting, Lord, to me that David didn't say the wings of a grasshopper. And he did not say the wings of a bat. And he did not say, Lord, the wings of a peacock to strut around with. No, Lord, He specifically said the wings of a dove. God, there's instruction in that. And God, reality checks in and says, Lord, You've got us right where we need to be right now. God, there's not a place that You can't sustain us through. Give us faith, Lord, we pray. Help us to keep calling on You faithfully, more now than we ever have, to trust You and Your Word, to remember what You've done, to give You praise and thanks and honor and glory and majesty due to Your worthy name. Help us, God, I pray, to know that we will influence somebody for the good or for the bad if we're not careful. Oh, Lord, this morning we've come to cast our problems, our troubles, our burdens upon Jesus today because we know that He cares for us. Lord, for this we plead and ask in the name of Jesus, our risen Savior and our Redeemer. Amen and amen.